Have you ever stopped to think about the invisible backbone of the global economy? I mean, the software that keeps everything from your morning coffee company to major airlines running smoothly, sort of humming along in the background. Today, we're taking a deep dive into that world of enterprise software, focusing on a true giant, SAP SE.
Indeed, and this isn't just about lines of code on a screen. It's really about the very operating system of thousands, maybe even tens of thousands, of the world's largest businesses. What really stands out about SAP, I think, is how a company that built its empire on a traditional, deeply entrenched model is now undergoing one of the most significant and, frankly, fascinating shifts to redefine its entire future in this cloud era.
Okay, so our mission today is to unpack the intricate investment research and analysis on SAP SE, that German multinational software corporation that, well, you've asked us to deep dive into. We're going to explore its ambitious pivot from on-premise, you know, traditional software to a cloud-first powerhouse. We'll dissect its financials, navigate its competitive landscape, and really assess the very real risks and opportunities that come with such a colossal transformation.
Right. Our goal is to extract the most important nuggets of knowledge from all the sources provided so you can walk away not just informed, but truly well-versed in SAP's strategic cloud transformation, its evolving market position, and ultimately what this all means for its long-term trajectory as a key player in the digital economy.
Okay, let's unpack SAP's foundation first then. When we talk about SAP, we're really discussing a titan in the software world. Headquartered in Waldorf, Germany, SAP SE is a German multinational software corporation that has, for decades, developed the enterprise software that manages everything from core business operations to customer relations. It's not just big. For many years, it has been the dominant force. SAP holds the undisputed title of the world's leading enterprise resource planning, or ERP, software vendor, and it's a recognized market leader in broader enterprise application software.
That's right. And when you consider its global reach, it's truly astounding. SAP serves over 440,000 customers in more than 180 countries. I mean, just put that in perspective, that's almost every country on earth. And this customer base spans the spectrum from massive multinational corporations to a very significant footprint among small and medium-sized enterprises, or SMEs. Their software is so deeply embedded into these businesses that it's often referred to as their very central nervous system, you know, the circulatory system for how they operate.
So for a company of this scale and legacy, how does it actually make its money? Its core operations and revenue streams are traditionally structured around three primary areas: cloud, software licenses and support, and services. But here's where the story gets really compelling. The strategic transformation we're here to discuss is dramatically shifting the composition and importance of each of these streams. It's like watching a huge ship turn in the ocean, a deliberate, monumental effort.
Absolutely. The cloud segment has rapidly become SAP's primary growth engine and strategic focus. This isn't just a single product. It's a broad and sophisticated portfolio of software as a service, or SaaS, and platform as a service, pay, solutions. This includes their flagship cloud ERP suite, which is their modern core offering, and the extension suite, plus some infrastructure as a service, or IaaS, offerings that provide the fundamental computing backbone. Just looking at the fiscal year 2024, cloud revenue hit a substantial $17.14 billion, marking a significant 25% year-over-year increase, or an even more impressive 26% at constant currencies, meaning if exchange rates hadn't fluctuated.
Wow, 25-26% growth on that base is huge.
It is. And this rapid expansion is a major milestone because the cloud business now contributes approximately 50% of SAP's total revenue, effectively making it half of their business. What's crucial here is that this financial model is based on recurring subscriptions, providing a much more predictable and stable revenue flow compared to their traditional one-off license sales.
And speaking of that traditional model, that brings us to software licenses and support. This was historically the absolute cornerstone of SAP's financial strength, the traditional on-premise business. It's composed of those upfront software license sales, mm-hmm. where a company would buy a perpetual license to use the software on their own servers, and then the recurring software support fees for maintenance and updates.
Yeah.
Now, in a very deliberate move aligned with their cloud-first strategy, revenue from new software licenses is in a managed structural decline. It actually fell 21% in fiscal year 2024 to €1.4 billion.
Which is exactly what you'd expect.
Right. It's exactly what you'd expect when a company is actively pushing customers to a new model.
But, and this is important, the associated software support revenue from those maintenance contracts on the vast installed base of on-premise software that's still out there globally remains a highly profitable contributor for SAP. While that support revenue stream is indeed expected to gradually erode over time as customers migrate to the cloud, it continues to generate substantial cash flow. And that cash is absolutely critical because it helps fund the company's ambitious transformation, essentially acting as the financial bridge to their cloud future. It's not just a legacy revenue stream. It's the fuel source for innovation.
Right. It's like using the profits from their current highly efficient internal combustion engine business to fund the massive R&D and factory retooling for electric vehicles. That makes sense. Then there's the services segment. This includes professional services like consulting for software implementation, both cloud and on-premise, and premium support. This revenue stream is more project-based and variable, fluctuating with customer needs. In this fourth quarter of 2024, services generated $1.11 billion. Showing modest growth and playing a vital role in supporting the broader ecosystem around SAP's core products and helping customers maximize their investment.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, the central narrative for SAP over the past several years has undeniably been this deliberate large-scale transition. They're moving from being a traditional on-premise software vendor, reliant on those big upfront license deals, to becoming a modern cloud company with a recurring subscription-based revenue model. This transformation is designed to achieve multiple strategic goals, to enhance the quality and predictability of its revenue stream, to foster deeper ongoing customer relationships through continuous service delivery, and ultimately to position the company for long-term sustainable growth in a rapidly evolving digital landscape.
And you can see this shift clearly in a key metric they track called share of more predictable revenue. This intelligently combines their cloud revenue and software support revenue, and it has shown a consistent upward trend, climbing to an impressive 83% of total revenue in FY 2024. That's up from 81% in 2023, and what was it, only 72% back in 2020?
That's right, 72% in 2020.
So this consistent climb is concrete evidence that the strategic shift towards a recurring subscription-based model is truly taking hold and creating a more resilient financial foundation for SAP. Their evolving business model is increasingly built around flexible subscription management, allowing for personalized offerings and even pay-per-use models, which is much more aligned with modern customer expectations, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. But the shift, while strategically sound, raises an important question about profitability, and that's where this J-curve effect comes into play. To really grasp this, imagine you're transforming an old, highly profitable factory that builds traditional cars into a brand new cutting-edge factory that produces electric vehicles. Initially, you've got massive upfront costs. Tearing down the old lines, building new infrastructure, training staff for new technology. Profits from the old line might drop, and the new line isn't immediately profitable at scale. Hmm. So your overall company profits dip. That's the downward part of the J.
Yeah, I see. So SAP is essentially in that dip right now, that construction phase, metaphorically speaking.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. As customers migrate to the cloud, they stop paying those highly lucrative support fees, which historically had gross margins often exceeding 90%. Huge margins. Instead, they start paying subscription fees for cloud services. While cloud is growing rapidly, it currently operates at lower gross margins, around, what was it, 75.2% non-IFRS cloud gross margin in Q2 2025. And that's due to ongoing infrastructure and hosting investments required to build out that new EV factory. This creates a temporary but significant headwind on their overall corporate margins.
So the long-term profitability really hinges not just on growing cloud revenue, but getting those cloud margins up.
Critically, yes. It hinges on the pace of cloud gross margin expansion. The good news is that analyst consensus forecasts project a steady expansion in operating margins from approximately 27.8% in 2025 to over 31% by 2028. This indicates the market's expectation that the cloud business will achieve the necessary scale and efficiency to drive overall margin accretion in the coming years, bringing them up the ascending part of that J.
Okay, that makes sense. So with all that context, how do we evaluate SAP's overall market position? I imagine it's pretty solid given their history.
No, it's incredibly solid. SAP's market position is truly anchored by its historical and ongoing leadership in the ERP software market, where it's widely recognized as the global standard setter. Independent industry analysis consistently affirms this. Gartner, for example, states SAP holds the number one market share in global ERP software. And IDC, another leading market intelligence firm, even placed SAP in a statistical tie with Salesforce for the top position in the broader enterprise applications market in a 2023 report. That shows just how widely their influence extends beyond just core ERP.
That's a huge reach. And while ERP is their core, I know SAP's product portfolio is vast.
Right.
Are they leading in other areas too, like beyond the main ERP system?
Absolutely. Beyond core ERP, they hold leading or dominant positions in numerous subsegments based on customer count. Think of areas like financial applications, human capital management or HCM, sourcing and procurement, supply chain management, and distribution management. This broad penetration across so many critical business functions really underscores the integral role SAP software plays as a foundational technology layer across the entire global economy. It's not just a piece of software. For many enterprises, it's, as we said, the very nervous system that orchestrates everything they do.
So we've explored this giant's foundation and its strategic pivot. Now let's shift our focus to the broader industry dynamics and competitive landscape. SAP operates within a vast and incredibly dynamic global enterprise software market. It's characterized by strong secular growth tailwinds, but also intense competition and significant technological disruption, especially from emerging trends like, well, artificial intelligence and increased automation.
Mm-hmm. And what's truly fascinating here is the sheer size and growth trajectory of this market. Recent studies project the global enterprise software market size to be in the range of approximately $251 billion to $280 billion for 2024-2025. And the outlook is for robust expansion with a forecasted compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, of between 11.7% and 12.1% through the next decade, potentially reaching over $760 billion by 2034.
Wow, $760 billion. That's a massive, continuously expanding pie.
It really is.
What are the primary forces propelling this kind of expansion? What's driving it?
Well, several key drivers. The overarching trend of digitalization continues to compel organizations worldwide to invest in software for automation, efficiency gains, and just maintaining competitiveness. Then there's the increasing demand for data-centric solutions to inform complex business decisions and drive intelligent operations, which is a major catalyst. And the structural shift to hybrid work models has certainly accelerated the adoption of cloud-based collaboration and management tools as businesses adapt to new ways of operating.
And within that huge market, the cloud segment is really pulling away.
Oh, clearly. Cloud is the engine of growth, with a predicted CAGR of 13.9%, significantly outpacing the on-premise segment. This reflects the benefits of lower upfront costs, greater flexibility, and continuous innovation that comes with SaaS models. Even within SAP's core ERP market, which is already mature, there's projected growth of 10.9% CAGR as organizations continue to modernize their core operational systems to keep pace.
So it's a thriving ecosystem, but also an incredibly competitive one. SAP faces a truly formidable and multifaceted competitive landscape.
Yeah.
Who are the big players they're primarily up against in this multi-front battle?
Well, the most direct and historically significant competitor is, of course, Oracle. The rivalry between these two giants is particularly intense in the core ERP and database markets. Recent data indicates this competition has tightened considerably. A 2025 industry report even suggested that Oracle's annual ERP revenue of $8.7 billion narrowly surpassed SAP's $8.6 billion in a specific measurement period.
Really? Oracle pulled ahead, even slightly?
In that specific measurement, yes. It highlights the competitive traction gained by Oracle's cloud-native Fusion ERP suite, which is now a direct modern alternative to SAP's S/4HANA Cloud for customers considering a move to the cloud. It's a real head-to-head fight there.
And it's not just the traditional rivals, right? There are the cloud-native specialists, what we often call the best-of-breed vendors, who were born directly in the cloud. We're talking about Salesforce, Dominant in Customer Relationship Management, or CRM, Workday as a leader in human capital management, HCM, and ServiceNow, excelling in IT service management. These companies challenge SAP's integrated suite strategy by offering highly specialized, often maybe more user-friendly, solutions for specific business functions.
Exactly. And this creates a risk that customers might peel off certain functions or departments to these specialists, even if they choose to retain SAP for their mission-critical core ERP. It's like they might keep the SAP engine, but put on different wheels or seats.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah. And then you have a somewhat paradoxical situation with the hyperscale cloud providers, companies like Microsoft Azure, Amazon Web Services, and Google Cloud. While they are crucial partners for SAP, providing the underlying infrastructure for SAP's cloud offerings, they're increasingly moving up the software stack themselves. They're offering their own enterprise applications and data analytics tools, which adds another layer of subtle competition to the mix. It's a complex dance between partnership and rivalry.
Okay, so with all these formidable competitors nipping at their heels, how does SAP defend its turf? This brings us to competitive moats and switching costs. SAP's durable competitive advantage, its primary moat, is largely built on the exceptionally high switching costs associated with its core ERP products. This creates a powerful vendor lock-in effect, making its customer base remarkably sticky, almost like superglue, as you said.
That's exactly why it's so incredibly difficult for customers to leave SAP. ERP systems aren't just applications. They are quite literally the central nervous system of an enterprise. They are deeply embedded into every critical operational and financial process, from accounting and inventory management to supply chain logistics and human resources. Migrating from an established SAP ERP system to a competitor's platform isn't just an IT project. It's a monumental undertaking for the entire business, fraught with immense risk, staggering costs, and potentially crippling disruption.
And these costs go far beyond just new software license fees, don't they? It's not just buying the car. It's rebuilding the garage, the roads, and then retraining everyone to drive differently.
Precisely. You're talking about multi-year, multi-million dollar implementation and consulting fees. There's often a significant investment in new hardware or cloud infrastructure to support the new system. Then there's the incredibly complex and risky process of migrating decades of business-critical data. Imagine moving an entire library of interconnected information without losing a single book or misfiling anything. And finally, retraining the entire organization, which can lead to a temporary but significant loss of productivity as employees learn new workflows and systems.
And perhaps the biggest deterrent, the very real business disruption risk. The potential for a failed or even just a delayed implementation to severely disrupt core operations, like a company's ability to ship products, process orders, or even close the financial books. That's a CEO's nightmare.
Absolutely. One study even highlighted that the total cost of installing a complex ERP system like SAP can be as much as 11 times the initial purchase price of the software. That underscores the immense investment that inherently locks customers into the ecosystem. This makes the decision to switch suppliers a rare and strategically critical event, affording SAP a highly resilient and predictable revenue base from its installed customers.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, I think. The nature of this competitive moat is actually undergoing a subtle but profoundly important evolution. While a full rip-and-replace of the core ERP system still remains a formidable barrier, the industry-wide shift to more open, API-driven cloud architectures is, ironically, lowering the barriers for integrating those best-of-breed solutions at the periphery of the core system.
Mm-hmm. This dynamic presents both a strategic opportunity and a lurking threat for SAP. On one hand, SAP's own business technology platform, or BTP, embraces this openness. It allows the company to foster a more flexible and powerful partner ecosystem, where customers can build custom applications or integrate with other tools. On the other hand, the same openness technically makes it easier for a customer running SAP's S/4HANA to integrate a competing CRM from Salesforce or an HCM system from Workday rather than purchasing SAP's equivalent offerings in those areas. So the core is safe, but the edges are more competitive. Kinda. While the central financial ledger, that single source of truth for a company, is likely to remain securely locked in with SAP, the company now faces more intense and direct competition for every adjacent application module. This elevates the importance of continuous product innovation and competitive feature sets in areas like supply chain, procurement, and human resources, as the protective effect of the core ERP lock-in is less potent in these surrounding domains.
So we've laid out this monumental transformation in theory, but how is it actually playing out in SAP's financial statements? It's like watching a giant aircraft carrier attempting a complex maneuver. There's a lot of churn and realignment before it settles onto its new course. Let's dig into the numbers from the last 5 years and see what story they tell about this pivot.
Absolutely. Let's unpack the 5-year historical performance from 2020 through 2024.
No.
Total revenue has demonstrated steady growth, increasing from $27.3 billion in 2020 to $34.2 billion in 2024. But here's the key. This top-line expansion has been almost exclusively driven by the cloud segment, which more than doubled its revenue from $8.1 billion to $17.1 billion over the same period. In stark contrast, the legacy software licenses and support segment has seen its contribution decline, reflecting the strategic de-emphasis on upfront license sales. It's a deliberate swap of one revenue type for another.
You can really see that push and pull between the old and new business models reflected directly in these numbers. Now, for profitability dynamics, it's a bit more complex, and this is where that J curve we talked about really becomes visible. On an IFRS basis, that's the International Financial Reporting Standards, essentially the official comprehensive accounting standard operating profit declined from $6.6 billion in 2020 to $4.7 billion in 2024. Why the dip?
Great question. This compression is a direct result of two main factors. First, the margin dilution from the shift to the cloud model, which, as we discussed, initially carries lower gross margins due to the upfront investments in infrastructure. And second, significant one-time restructuring expenses, which amounted to a massive $3.1 billion in 2024 alone as they streamline operations for the cloud era.
$3 billion in restructuring.
Wow. Yeah. It's substantial. However, a more representative view of underlying operational health is provided by the non-IFRS operating profit. This metric generally excludes those one-time non-recurring items and big restructuring costs. This non-IFRS number has remained more stable at $8.2 billion in 2020 versus $8.1 billion in 2024, with some dips in between. This indicates that the core business, beneath the surface of the transformation costs, continues to perform quite robustly.
Okay, that clarifies the difference between IFRS and non-IFRS numbers. So it's like the IFRS number shows the full cost of rebuilding the factory, while the non-IFRS shows how efficiently the cars are still rolling off the production line, more or less. Now let's talk about the cloud transition progress and some key metrics. The pace of cloud adoption is really accelerating, which is great news for SAP. In the second quarter of 2025, cloud revenue grew by a robust 24% as reported, and an even more impressive 28% at constant currency, marking a clear acceleration from prior periods. What's driving that growth?
The primary engine of this growth is their core cloud ERP suite, which expanded even faster at 30% or 34% at constant currency in the same quarter. This clearly underscores strong demand for SAP's flagship cloud offering, particularly its S/4HANA cloud product. What's even more fascinating here is the current cloud backlog, or CCB. This metric is incredibly important because it represents contracted future cloud revenue that has not yet been recognized, essentially acting as a crucial leading indicator of future growth. It's like seeing confirmed orders in the pipeline for years to come.
So how healthy is that backlog? Is it growing strongly too?
Oh, yes. As of Q2 2025, the CCB reached a record $18.1 billion, an increase of 22% or 28% at constant currency year over year. This consistent, strong growth in the backlog provides a high degree of visibility and confidence in the company's ability to meet its future cloud revenue targets. It's a powerful signal that the cloud strategy is gaining sustained momentum.
Okay, that backlog certainly sounds promising, indicating a strong future revenue stream. But here's what I find a bit nuanced and, frankly, a point of contention for some analysts. S/4HANA adoption. This is the migration of SAP's vast installed base from legacy ECC systems to the new S/4HANA platform, which is an absolute cornerstone of the long-term strategy. As of the end of 2024, an estimated 39% of the approximately 35,000 legacy ECC customers had purchased licenses for S/4HANA. That's a good chunk, but it still leaves a large number, what, over 60% still to migrate?
Exactly. And what's really key here and where the nuance lies is that a notable portion of this S/4HANA growth, specifically, 62% of new licensees in a recent quarter comes from net new customers rather than existing customer migrations from ECC.
Ah, so more than half the new S/4HANA customers were completely new to SAP.
In that specific recent quarter, yes. This suggests that while SAP is successfully winning new clients directly into the cloud, the large-scale migration of its core installed base is proceeding at a pace that SAP itself has described as steady but slow.
And this dynamic, if I understand correctly, presents a potential vulnerability in the investment thesis. While the overall cloud growth narrative is strong, it appears to be significantly bolstered by new customer acquisition through the Grow with SAP program. The core thesis, though, relies heavily on the large-scale migration of that existing high-value installed base via the Rise with SAP program, which is catalyzed by that looming 2027 maintenance deadline for legacy software. So a slower-than-anticipated pace of these migrations could imply that the revenue uplift from this core customer base may materialize more slowly than expected.
Exactly right. This introduces a very real risk that some customers, facing the complexity and cost of migration, may explore third-party support options for their legacy systems or even be aggressively pitched by competitor solutions as that deadline approaches. This could potentially extend the timeline for SAP to realize the full financial benefits of the S/4HANA transition from their most valuable, longest-standing customers. It means they have to work harder to pull those existing customers into the new world.
So if we look at SAP through the lens of pure SaaS metrics, which we often do for cloud companies, what does it tell us? I know they don't disclose everything like annual recurring revenue in the way a Salesforce might.
You're right. They don't break down every single SaaS metric traditionally. However, we can use strong proxies. That share of more predictable revenue at 83% serves as a very strong proxy for the recurring nature of the business model, showing how much of their revenue is now subscription-based. And given the exceptionally high switching costs and enterprise focus we discussed, analysts estimate SAP's gross customer retention rate is likely in the mid-90s, indicative of a very sticky customer base and a long average customer lifetime. That's a powerful asset.
Mid-90s retention is very strong. And that margin expansion potential we touched on earlier with the J-curve. The cloud transition is dilutive to margins in the short term, but significant margin expansion is a key part of the long-term investment thesis.
Yeah.
How quickly do they need to get those cloud margins up?
Well, as the cloud business scales, economies of scale in infrastructure and operations are absolutely expected to drive profitability higher. We've already seen the non-IFRS cloud gross margin improve to 75.2% in Q2 2025. Which is solid progress. Analyst consensus forecasts reflect this expectation, projecting non-IFRS operating margins to expand from 27.8% in FY25 to an impressive 31.6% by FY28. The key is for them to continue that upward trajectory in cloud margins as they add more customers and become more efficient at delivering cloud services.
Finally, let's talk about cash flow generation. SAP has historically been a prolific generator of free cash flow, which is, you know, the lifeblood of any company. How has that been impacted by this massive transformation?
Historically, yes, they've been a cash machine. However, recent performance has been temporarily impacted by significant cash outlays related to the company's restructuring program. In fiscal year 2024, free cash flow declined by 19% to $4.11 billion, largely due to $2.5 billion in restructuring payouts. That's a huge number, as we noted. However, adjusting for these one-time transformation costs, the underlying cash-generating capability of the business remains robust. A return to strong free cash flow growth is widely anticipated as restructuring payments subside and the benefits of the cloud transition flow through to the bottom line. It's really an investment in future efficiency.
So, what does this all mean for SAP's future? The growth strategy and opportunities are clearly centered on completing its transformation into a cloud-first enterprise software leader. This strategy is multifaceted, involving the migration of its core installed base, the acquisition of new customers with cloud-native solutions, continuous innovation in high-growth areas like AI and data analytics, and targeted acquisitions to augment its technology portfolio. It sounds like a very comprehensive plan.
It is. And SAP's cloud strategy is primarily executed through two distinct go-to-market offerings, each tailored to a specific customer segment. First, there's RISE with SAP. This is a comprehensive offering designed as a business transformation as a service specifically for SAP's existing on-premise customers. It provides a guided, simplified path to migrate their core ERP systems to S4 HANA Cloud. The key value proposition of RISE is its simplification of what can be an incredibly complex migration process by bundling software, infrastructure hosting on a hyperscaler of the customer's choice, and transformation services into a single, unified contract. This approach is intended to de-risk and accelerate the cloud journey for SAP's large and valuable installed base. In Q4 2024, RISE with SAP was a significant driver, accounting for 58% of all new S/4HANA deals.
Okay, so RISE is for the customers they already have, helping them make the leap to the cloud. What about bringing in completely new customers, those net new ones you mentioned?
That's where Grow with SAP comes in. This offering was specifically designed to capture net new customers with a particular focus on the mid-market or SME segment. Grow provides a ready-to-run public cloud ERP solution that comes with pre-configured industry-specific best practices. This allows for rapid deployment and a faster time to value, making it an incredibly attractive option for growing companies that need a scalable, modern ERP system without the immense complexity or upfront investment of a large-scale migration.
I understand the different strategies for existing and new customers, but the most significant discrete growth catalyst for SAP over the next several years is undeniably that S/4HANA migration opportunity. This is the big one. Migrating that massive legacy customer base from the SAP Business Suite 7 core application suite, commonly known as SAP ECC, to the next generation S/4HANA platform. And there's a hard deadline, isn't there? A real forcing function.
Precisely. SAP has announced that mainstream maintenance for ECC will effectively end on December 31st, 2027, with the option for customers to purchase extended maintenance at a premium until the end of 2030. That deadline acts as a powerful forcing function, compelling thousands of customers to make a strategic decision about their core enterprise systems. This migration to S/4HANA represents a substantial revenue uplift opportunity for SAP, as customers will transition from a relatively low-cost annual maintenance fee to a higher-value comprehensive cloud subscription contract. Given that the average migration project for a mid-sized enterprise can take between 12 and 24 months, that 2027 deadline is creating an increasing sense of urgency within the customer base, which is expected to drive an acceleration in migration projects over the next 2 to 3 years.
All right, the clock is ticking. Beyond migration, innovation in next-generation technologies is a critical pillar of SAP's growth strategy, with a primary focus on business AI and the underlying business technology platform, or BTP. What exactly is business AI in SAP's context? Is it just chatbots everywhere?
Well, it's more than that. SAP is strategically embedding artificial intelligence capabilities across its entire application portfolio. The goal isn't just to add AI for AI's sake. It's to deliver relevant, reliable, responsible business AI that directly helps automate repetitive tasks, provides predictive insights for better decision-making, and enhances the overall user experience within their enterprise applications. It's about making the software smarter and more intuitive for business users.
And the flagship of this initiative is Joule, SAP's natural language generative AI copilot. I hear a lot about copilots these days. How is Joule different or unique for a business context?
Joule is designed to be unique because it's being integrated everywhere and for everything across the SAP suite. Imagine being able to get answers, generate content like reports or emails, and automate complex actions simply by asking questions or giving commands in plain language. Right within the applications you're already using for finance, HR, supply chain, etc., it's designed to be your intelligent assistant, deeply contextualized to your business data and processes. And the market traction for this strategy is already evident. In Q2 2025, over half of SAP's cloud order entry volume came from deals that included AI use cases. That shows customers are clearly seeing the value.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. AI embedded in the workflow. And underpinning all of this innovation, especially the AI strategy, is the business technology platform, BTP. So this BTP, how does it actually empower SAP customers? Is it like a toolkit or more of a foundation they build on?
It's very much both. Think of it this way. If SAP's applications are the ready-built house, BTP is like having all the essential construction tools and a solid foundation provided by SAP. It allows businesses to extend and customize their core SAP applications in ways that fit their unique needs, build entirely new innovations on top of the SAP ecosystem, and seamlessly connect SAP systems with other software they might be using from third parties. It's all about making their SAP ecosystem more flexible, more extensible, and more intelligent, serving as the technical underpinning for their entire cloud and AI strategy. It's really core to Rise and Grow as well.
Beyond the core transformation and innovation, SAP is also pursuing growth through market expansion and a disciplined acquisition strategy. They're focusing on increasing penetration in the SME market, developing new industry-specific solutions through their industry cloud initiative, and expanding their presence in emerging economies. What kind of acquisitions are they making? Are we talking about big, splashy deals like some tech companies do?
Actually, no. What's particularly insightful about their inorganic growth strategy is that it's not focused on those large transformative deals, the splashy ones that make headlines. Instead, it's about targeted tuck-in acquisitions of technology and software that augment its portfolio in critical strategic areas, often to solve specific customer pain points or accelerate a part of their cloud journey. This is clearly illustrated by their recent transactions. Leaninx, in September 2023, which is a market leader in enterprise architecture management, helping companies plan and manage their IT landscape modernization. And the intended acquisition of WalkMe in June 2024, a leader in digital adoption platforms, whose software provides in-application guidance to help users navigate complex workflows.
Leaninx for planning the move, WalkMe for making the move easier. So these aren't just about adding features or bolting on new software. It almost sounds like a sophisticated strategic move to control and monetize the entire customer transformation journey. Am I reading too much into that?
No, I think you're absolutely spot on. An ERP migration is a moment of high vulnerability for an incumbent vendor like SAP because customers are naturally evaluating all their options. By acquiring Leaninx, SAP positions itself at the very beginning of that journey, the planning and architecture phase, effectively guiding customers toward an SAP-centric solution from the outset. They're helping you design your new house blueprint, and naturally that blueprint leans towards SAP. Then with WalkMe, they address a major customer pain point after migration, user adoption and change management. It makes the daunting S/4HANA migration path appear safer, less disruptive, and easier to implement than alternatives. This strategy effectively builds what some analysts are calling a moat around the migration itself, creating dependencies on SAP's tooling before, during, and after the core ERP transition. This increases customer stickiness and significantly reduces the risk of churn to competitors during this critical period. It's a very clever defensive and offensive play wrapped into one.
A moat around the migration. I like that. That's a powerful strategic insight. Moving on to how SAP manages its money, its capital allocation strategy truly reflects a disciplined balance between investing heavily in long-term growth and transformation while simultaneously delivering consistent and growing returns to shareholders. This approach is enabled by the company's strong balance sheet and robust underlying cash flow generation.
Mm-hmm. Historically, their capital deployment has focused on three main areas. First, significant organic investment in research and development, particularly for critical cloud and AI technologies, which is essential for future competitiveness. Second, targeted inorganic investment through those tuck-in acquisitions we just discussed, like LeanX and WalkMe. And third, more recently, substantial cash outlays for restructuring programs, such as that $2.5 billion in 2024, designed to realign their cost structure and workforce towards those high-growth cloud areas.
And what about returning value directly to shareholders? Does a company in the midst of such a massive transformation still prioritize dividends or share buybacks? It seems like they'd need every penny for the transformation.
You might think so, but SAP has a long and reliable track record of returning capital through dividends, having made payments for 27 consecutive years, which is quite remarkable for a tech company. For fiscal year 2024, the proposed dividend was 2.35 per share, representing a solid 6.8% increase from the prior year. The dividend has shown healthy growth over time, with a three-year CAGR of 7.81% and a five-year CAGR of 18.53%. The current forward dividend yield is around 0.9%, which, as you know, is characteristic of a company in a high-growth phase that's reinvesting a substantial portion of its earnings back into the business for future expansion.
Okay, so reliable dividends. And in addition to dividends, SAP actively uses share repurchase programs to return capital and manage its share count. They announced a significant program of up to $5 billion from May 2023 to the end of 2025. What's the primary purpose of such a large buyback program, especially when they're also incurring all this restructuring costs? Seems like a lot of cash going out the door.
It does. This program is being executed in multiple tranches. For example, $1.25 billion from February to August 2024, and another $1.6 billion from September 2024 to April 2025. The primary purpose of these buybacks is largely to service future awards granted under share-based compensation plans, aiming to strengthen employee ownership without excessive dilution. But what's really fascinating here, I think, is that management's decision to simultaneously increase dividends and execute large buybacks while incurring significant restructuring costs signals a high degree of confidence in future free cash flow generation. It suggests they project a significant acceleration in cash flow as the benefits of the cloud transition are realized and those restructuring costs subside. It's a strong vote of confidence from leadership about the future cash machine.
It's a very interesting signal indeed.
Yeah.
So given all this, what are the biggest risks that could derail this impressive journey for SAP? Every major transformation comes with its own set of potential pitfalls.
Indeed. And the most significant risks facing SAP are directly related to the execution of its complex and ambitious cloud transformation. First, there's the migration timeline and adoption uncertainty. The core of SAP's long-term value proposition rests on the successful and timely migration of its vast on-premise ECC customer base to the S/4HANA cloud platform. There is a tangible risk that this migration may proceed more slowly than the market anticipates. Customer hesitation, driven by the high cost, complexity, and perceived disruption of the migration process, could lead to delays, extending the timeline for SAP to realize the anticipated revenue and margin benefits.
And we've seen that pace described as steady but slow, which certainly flags this as a risk. What about the profitability side, the other side of the J curve?
Exactly. Then there's the margin and profitability pressure. The business model shift from high-margin, upfront software licenses and recurring support fees to an initially lower-margin cloud subscription model creates a near-term headwind for profitability. If the company fails to achieve the expected economies of scale in its cloud operations and expand its cloud gross margins as planned, overall corporate profitability could remain suppressed for a prolonged period. And those anticipated gains from restructuring and efficiency. There's a risk they may not fully materialize or may take longer to achieve than planned, negatively impacting future operating margins and cash flow. It's a marathon, not a sprint, and there are many variables.
SAP also operates in a highly competitive and dynamic market. We've already discussed how fierce the competition is, particularly with Oracle's resurgence in core ERP and the constant pressure from cloud-native specialists like Salesforce and Workday. What's the macro risk here? Can the economy derail things?
That's a crucial point. SAP's revenue is directly linked to the capital expenditure and IT budgets of large enterprises globally. These budgets are inherently cyclical and highly sensitive to broader macroeconomic conditions. A global economic slowdown, persistent inflation, or heightened geopolitical uncertainty could cause customers to delay or reduce their spending on large-scale digital transformation projects, leading to a slowdown in SAP's growth trajectory and potentially impacting that critical migration acceleration.
Makes sense. And of course, technology and regulatory risks are always present in the software world. The pace of technological innovation, particularly in areas like artificial intelligence and data analytics, is relentless. There's a risk that new disruptive technologies could emerge, making SAP's products less competitive if they don't adapt quickly enough. Also, SAP systems house vast amounts of mission-critical and sensitive data for the world's largest corporations. Any significant cybersecurity breach or failure to comply with evolving regulations like GDPR or new AI regulations could result in substantial financial penalties and severe reputational damage. Plus, as a truly global company, its reported financial performance, which is in euros, is subject to volatility from foreign exchange rate fluctuations, given significant revenue and expenses in other currencies like the US dollar.
Mm-hmm. And this all leads to an important overarching risk that analysts consider, the potential for a value trap scenario. This would occur if the 2027 ECC maintenance deadline proves to be a less potent migration catalyst than is currently priced into SAP stock. The slow adoption rate among the installed base to date, which we've discussed, suggests a degree of customer inertia and resistance that might be hard to overcome.
So what could happen if that inertia proves too strong? If customers just don't move fast enough?
Well, this opens the door for two primary threats. First, the potential emergence of a viable third-party support market for legacy ECC systems, which would allow customers to essentially kick the can down the road and delay a migration decision indefinitely. And second, competitors like Oracle using the deadline as a compelling event to aggressively pitch their alternative cloud ERP solutions, potentially luring away some of SAP's most valuable customers. If SAP is unable to significantly accelerate the migration of its installed base over the next 1 to 2 years, the market may begin to price in a higher probability of customer churn post-2027. Such an outcome would cap the company's perceived long-term growth rate and invalidate the margin expansion thesis, potentially leading to a significant derating of the stock's valuation multiple. That's the core risk SAP is navigating right now.
Okay, that value trap scenario is definitely something to keep an eye on. So given all this, what is the market pricing in for SAP? The valuation of SAP SE reflects a complex interplay between its mature, cash-generative legacy business and its high-growth transforming cloud business. The market is currently ascribing a premium valuation, clearly anticipating a successful execution of its cloud transition, which is expected to drive accelerated growth and significant...
Absolutely. And what's fascinating here is how the multiples have expanded. The company's trailing 12-month, or TTM, price-to-earnings PE ratio, for example, stands in the range of 52x to 58x. This is notably above its 10-year historical average PE of approximately 37x, suggesting that the stock is pricing in significant future earnings growth and a successful transformation. The forward PE ratio, based on consensus earnings estimates, is lower, around 41x, which also reflects these strong growth expectations. And the TTM enterprise value to sales, or EV sales, ratio recently peaked in the range of 8.3x to 9.4x. This represents a substantial premium to its 5-year median multiple of approximately 5.0x and is significantly higher than the trough of 3.7x seen back in 2022. The market is clearly optimistic.
To put that into context, let's look at their peers. When compared to its primary legacy competitor, Oracle, which has a TTM PE ratio in the range of 50 by 56x, SAP currently trades at a slight premium. The market may see SAP's S/4HANA migration cycle as a more pronounced, albeit later, growth acceleration catalyst, perhaps.
That could be part of it. However, SAP trades at a significant valuation discount to premier cloud-native enterprise software companies like ServiceNow and Workday, which command PTM PE ratios well above 100x.
Is that gap justified? Why, the big difference?
Yes, I think that gap is generally justified by their higher revenue growth rates, their pure cloud-native business models, and their complete lack of a dilutive legacy business to manage. They don't have that J-curve headwind we keep talking about. If we connect this to the bigger picture, a relevant comparison is Microsoft, which successfully navigated its own massive transition to the cloud over the last decade. Microsoft currently trades at a TTM PE ratio of around 39x. SAP's current premium to Microsoft likely reflects the market's expectation that SAP is at an earlier stage of its transformation-driven growth and margin expansion cycle, with more acceleration potentially still to come in the next few years.
Given SAP's distinct business segments with vastly different growth and profitability profiles, that old legacy business versus the new cloud business, a sum of the parts, or SOTP, valuation framework provides a useful analytical tool, I imagine. How does that approach work here?
It's a useful lens, yes. This approach involves valuing each distinct segment separately and then aggregating them. The cloud business, with its strong growth and recurring revenue, would be valued like other large-scale, high-growth SaaS businesses, commanding a premium EV sales or EBITDA multiple. The software support business, that cash cow facing a slow decline, would be valued on a cash flow basis with a much lower multiple. And the declining software licenses and the variable services would command the lowest multiples.
Right. The implication here is that the consolidated valuation of a company like SAP may actually hide the full intrinsic value of its high-growth cloud segment, as it's diluted by the slower growth profile and lower multiples of the larger legacy parts of the business. So as the cloud business becomes a larger proportion of the overall revenue mix, its higher valuation characteristics should have a greater influence on the company's total valuation, potentially leading to a re-rating over time.
Exactly. The ultimate success of SAP's cloud transition will be the primary determinant of its long-term valuation. If it successfully completes its migration and truly becomes an enterprise with over 90% predictable revenue, sustained double-digit growth, and expanding operating margins, it would absolutely warrant a structural re-rating of its valuation multiples, likely moving closer to that of premier pure-play SaaS companies. The current premium valuation reflects both the significant potential of this outcome and, crucially, the considerable execution risk that still remains.
Okay, so what does this all mean for an investment thesis? Let's try to boil it down. What's the compelling reason to invest in SAP, the bull case, and what are the primary risks, the bear case?
Right. The primary arguments in favor of an investment in SAP, the bull case, are centered on the durability of its core business, a clear catalyst for growth, and the potential for significant financial improvement. Firstly, the durable competitive moat stemming from its deeply entrenched position within the core operations of thousands of the world's largest enterprises. This provides a stable and captive customer base protected by those exceptionally high customer switching costs we discussed. It's incredibly difficult to dislodge them from that core.
And that S/4HANA migration catalyst is key here, the 2027 deadline.
Absolutely. The mandated end of mainstream maintenance for SAP's legacy ECC software in 2027 acts as a powerful non-discretionary spending driver. This deadline is expected to compel most of the remaining installed base to migrate, unlocking a multi-year cycle of accelerated revenue growth as customers move to higher value cloud subscription contracts. Then there's the margin expansion and free cash flow growth potential. The investment thesis anticipates a significant improvement in profitability and cash generation as the cloud transition matures. As the high-growth cloud business achieves greater scale and the benefits of recent restructuring programs are fully realized, there is substantial potential for operating margin expansion and a re-acceleration of free cash flow growth, particularly in the post-2025 period.
And finally, that embedded AI opportunity, which seems increasingly important across the software landscape.
Yes, absolutely. The strategic integration of business AI, led by the Joule Copilot, across SAP's product suite represents a significant incremental growth opportunity. AI-powered features can drive higher customer value, creating opportunities for upselling and cross-selling, increasing average revenue per user, or ARPU, and crucially solidifying SAP's competitive position by making their software even more indispensable.
So how durable are these competitive advantages, especially in light of those new cloud competitors? Is the moat shrinking?
Well, the core ERP lock-in appears highly durable for the medium to long term. Companies simply don't rip out their financial backbone easily. However, the competitive moat at the periphery in non-ERP application areas like CRM or HCM is facing more significant erosion from those best-of-breed SaaS competitors. The long-term durability of SAP's broader market leadership will depend on the success of its integrated suite strategy, leveraging the business technology platform to demonstrate that the value of a fully integrated SAP landscape outweighs the benefits of specialized third-party solutions. It's an ongoing battle for the whole customer ecosystem.
The quality and predictability of the business model also seem to be improving dramatically with this shift to subscriptions.
They are, significantly. The shift to a recurring revenue model has really enhanced the predictability and visibility of their financial performance. The consistent growth in the share of predictable revenue, now at 83%, combined with a massive and growing current cloud backlog of $18.1 billion, provides investors with a high degree of confidence in the company's near-term revenue trajectory and reduces the historical volatility that came with large, lumpy license deals.
So to sum up the risk-reward profile, what's the fundamental trade-off here for an investor looking at SAP?
Okay, the potential reward is clear. A successful and timely execution of the cloud transformation could see SAP re-rated by the market as a premier at-scale cloud software company, justifying a significant and permanent expansion of its valuation multiples. That's the big upside potential. However, the primary risk, the bear case, is a failure to execute on this complex transformation. A slower-than-expected S/4HANA migration, persistent pressure on margins, or market share losses to nimbler competitors could lead to that value trap scenario we discussed. Where anticipated improvements fail to materialize, leading to a contraction of the stock's currently elevated valuation multiples. It's really a high stand gamble on execution over the next few years.
Right. And to monitor this, investors should closely watch several key performance indicators. First, a tangible acceleration in the S/4HANA adoption rate among the legacy ECC installed base. That seems like the absolute critical one. Second, continued growth in the current cloud backlog at a rate of 25% or higher at constant currencies. Third, sustained sequential improvement in the non-IFRS cloud gross margin, aiming towards the high 70s to low 80s percentage range. And finally, clear evidence of operating leverage, demonstrated by non-IFRS operating profit growth, consistently outpacing total revenue growth. These are sort of your dashboard metrics for success.
Exactly. Those are the key things to track quarter by quarter.
So let's wrap this up with some of the most important questions you should be asking about SAP right now. First, how sustainable is SAP's market leadership position in ERP? Is it guaranteed?
Well, nothing's guaranteed, but it's still incredibly strong. It really is the core of SAP's identity and its value. While they are deeply entrenched due to immense switching costs, the emergence of Oracle's cloud-native Fusion ERP is a significant new challenge. The long-term answer hinges on SAP's ability to not only migrate its vast installed base to S/4HANA Cloud, but also effectively fend off those specialized application competitors who are nipping at the edges.
And what's the realistic timeline and financial impact of this massive cloud transition completion? When does that J-curve really start to bend upwards noticeably, you think?
The 2027 deadline for mainstream support, with an extended option to 2030, is a hard stop for customers. But as we've seen, the pace of migration has been steady but slow, so it's a marathon. The J-curve means near-term margin pressure as they absorb costs, but analysts anticipate accelerating growth and margin expansion really starting to gain traction perhaps in 2025, 2026, assuming migrations pick up steam.
How will margins specifically evolve as the business mix shifts more and more to cloud?
It's all about that J-curve we visualized. We're currently in the dip, absorbing costs from the legacy shift and significant restructuring. But as cloud scales and they achieve greater efficiencies in those new cloud operations, analysts expect a strong recovery, with non-IFRS operating margins potentially exceeding 30% by 2027-2028. It's truly about achieving that cloud scale and the operating leverage that comes with it.
What are the biggest risks to the investment thesis that you've identified? The top three, maybe.
Okay, I'd say we've identified three big ones that keep analysts up at night. First, a failure to truly accelerate the S/4HANA migration from that existing high-value customer base, which could lead to churn or a longer-than-expected transition. Second, intensified competition, particularly from Oracle's cloud-native ERP solution, which looks like a credible threat. And third, broader macroeconomic headwinds that could slow down those large, complex digital transformation projects, impacting their growth plans just when they need to accelerate.
Finally, how does SAP truly compare to those pure-play SaaS alternatives, like a ServiceNow or a Workday? It seems like they're in a category all their own, almost.
I think that's fair. This is where SAP offers a very distinct profile. It's not a hyper-growth, pure SaaS player like a ServiceNow, which started cloud-native and operates at different margins and growth rates. SAP is fundamentally a transformation and value realization story built on an existing, massive, highly profitable foundation. You're betting on a successful, complex pivot leading to a structural re-rating of its valuation multiples as it sheds its legacy skin, rather than simply sustain high growth from a pure cloud base. It's a different kind of opportunity with different risks and rewards.
What an incredible deep dive into SAP SE. We've really unpacked how this enterprise software giant is boldly transforming itself from a traditional on-premise model to a cloud-first company. navigating intense competition and a delicate balance of managing a legacy business while building for a very different future.
Mm-hmm. And the aha moment here, I think, is understanding that SAP's transformation isn't just a technical upgrade. It's a complete business model re-engineering with a clear deadline looming. The success or failure of this pivot, particularly with the S/4HANA migration, will quite literally define its next decade. It's that critical.
So as SAP continues its ambitious shift, here's a thought for you to mull over. In an increasingly integrated digital world, will the enduring power of a single comprehensive enterprise backbone, like SAP's, ultimately outweigh the allure and flexibility of specialized best-of-breed solutions? Or will the future belong to a more hybrid approach, constantly balancing integration with modularity?
And this raises an important follow-up question. Will the sheer gravity of SAP's installed base, coupled with its strategic acquisitions to moat the migration, truly compel its customers to follow its cloud journey? Or will the 2027 deadline actually open the door to unforeseen alternatives and a potentially more fragmented enterprise software landscape than we see today?
Something to keep thinking about long after this deep dive concludes. Thank you for joining us.